Can I say how good it is to see you all here, to see so many of you here this lunchtime for this carol service. Now, you may think I sound a bit of an ungrateful pig, but for me, one of the recurring features of Christmas over the last few years has been receiving rather inappropriate gifts. I rip open the wrapping paper in huge anticipation, only to be sorely disappointed. Last year, one relation gave me a scarf for Christmas. Fine, you might think, but it was the third year in a row that she had given me a scarf. But I guess that was better than for my wife, Susanna. She received some beauty products from Lush from one relative last Christmas, a nice little sort of basket of products, except one of the bottles was some men's shaving foam. But actually, the very first Christmas had its own inappropriate gifts too, didn't it? I mean, think of the three wise men. They could have brought some useful, practical presents, like some baby clothes or some nappies, or perhaps a nice home-cooked casserole for the parents. I'm sure if it was three wise women, they would certainly have done that, wouldn't they? Actually, we don't actually know that the wise men were wise. All that we do know is that verse 1 of our second reading, you'll see there, we know that they're magi. They were magi. That is, they were astrologers. And we don't actually know that there were three of them at all. The Bible doesn't tell us that. It's just that there were the three seemingly inappropriate presents of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So why did the magi bring these particular three presents? Well, the clue to the first gift, gold, is in line 2 of the second reading, and the question that the wise men asked King Herod. They said, if you look there at the second verse, they said, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" And gold, well, gold is a present fit for a king. This baby in a manger is a king. He's one to be obeyed. How about the second gift of incense? It also seems a little inappropriate, doesn't it? I mean, you don't go around giving a baby a couple of joss sticks for Christmas, do you? Well, in the Old Testament, incense was used in the temple to point to a relationship with God. And Jesus came to earth to do just that. He came to enable us to relate to God. And that's no small thing, because God is perfect and we are not. We're naturally out of relationship with God. All of us, every single one of us, we're so quick to live our lives with no regard for the one who has made us and has given us our every breath. And at Christmas time, we remember the fact that Jesus, he entered this world in order to restore our broken relationship with God. As we sang earlier, when we sang Hark the Herald, we sang God and sinners reconciled. When Jesus came down to earth, he came to make that reconciliation possible. And then the third gift, myrrh. Well, myrrh points to how Jesus actually achieved that reconciliation. And myrrh, it has to be the most inappropriate of the three gifts, doesn't it? I mean, do you know what myrrh was used for? Myrrh was used to embalm the bodies of dead people. I mean, can you imagine if this Christmas, on his very first Christmas, I were to give my 11-month-old godson, Henry, if I were to give him for Christmas not a nice cuddly toy or a nice picture book or something like that, but if on his very first Christmas I were to give Henry a coffin. I mean, can you imagine it? What would the parents say? They'd certainly regret making me Henry's godfather, wouldn't they? But that is what the wise men did with Jesus. They came to Jesus and they gave him myrrh. Because this baby was born to die. And our first reading actually told us why Jesus died. The clue's in Jesus' name. The angel of the Lord said to Joseph, he said, "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." And that is exactly what Jesus was doing about 30 years later as he died on the cross. He was saving his people from their sins. Jesus paid the penalty for sin of death, so that you and I don't have to pay it. So that we can know forgiveness, reconciliation, a relationship with God as we put our trust in Jesus. I wonder if you've read this recent article. The Advertising Standards Commission has rejected a complaint lodged by Bob Weller of Carlisle against Beecham's Pharmaceuticals regarding claims made on the packaging of their Mr. Muscle product. Now, according to the adverts, and I'm sure you know them well, kitchen and bathroom cleaner Mr. Muscle loves the jobs you hate. But Mr. Weller says this is just not the case. Mr. Weller said, I took a bottle of Mr. Muscle into the office where I work as a chartered accountant. On a day when I had some particularly tedious jobs lined up. Firstly, I'd been asked to prepare a quarterly sales summary for a client in Ramsgate. Now, I expected this to take most of the morning, so I sprayed the keyboard of my computer with a liberal coating of Mr. Muscle, and I went to the toilet where I slept until 11:30. Now, compiling quarterly summaries for large companies is one of the worst things about my job. I hate it, in fact. So I'd expected Mr. Muscle to have done a great job. After all, he loves the jobs you hate. Yet I was astonished when I returned to my desk and discovered that he hadn't even started. That afternoon, I was scheduled to interview graduates for a junior position within the firm. Now, if there's one thing I hate more than quarterly summaries, it's interviewing students. So I again decided to leave it to Mr. Muscle. I squirted him all over the conference room on the second floor. I left the bottle on the table and asked my secretary, Miss Harris, to usher in the candidates when they arrived. When I returned from the pub about 4 hours later, I was sure Mr. Muscle would have at least prepared a shortlist for a second interview, but had he indeed? He was on the table where I'd left him, had taken no notes whatsoever, and all of the students had gone. I was furious, continued Mr. Weller. John Ramsey of the Advertising Standards Commission said in a statement, Bob Weller is a nutter. Mr. Weller has been sacked by his company and has a number of complaints to the Advertising Standards Commission awaiting review, including one against Cadbury Confectionery, claiming he has yet to find romance with a female rabbit despite eating 40 caramels in 1 week. Now, we laugh at Bob Weller's complete and utter stupidity. We know that none of us could possibly be that stupid. But my fear actually is that at Christmas, many of us do manage to do a Bob Weller. Because we often totally misunderstand something that is far more important and far more significant than Mr. Muscle. I think far too often we misunderstand Jesus Christ. So often our view of Jesus is as a little baby lying in a manger in a stable. But we forget that Jesus is so much more than that. Gold was a gift for a baby who is a king to be obeyed. He is a ruler. Incense was a gift for a baby who is the one, the only person who enables us to have a relationship with God. He is a reconciler. Myrrh was a gift for a baby who died for us, in our place, to save us from our sins. He is a rescuer. Now let me just take the last 3 or 4 minutes, just to say just two things. And the first thing is this. Firstly, anyone can come to Jesus. Anyone can come to Jesus. Think about it. If God came down to earth, who would you expect to greet him? The Archbishop of Canterbury? The Queen? The Pope? You'd expect it to be some dignitary or religious leader, wouldn't you? You wouldn't expect it to be the head of the pagan society or Mystic Meg or whoever writes the horoscopes these days. The Magi, they were astrologers, not the kind of people you'd expect to turn up. And yet it is them who come to meet God as God comes down to earth. You see, no matter how far from God you feel, no matter whatever has happened in your past, no matter how bad or unworthy you might feel, you can come to Jesus and know forgiveness and a relationship with God. Anyone can come to Jesus. And then secondly, everyone needs to come to Jesus. That's the difference between King Herod and the wise men. I wonder if you noticed in that passage that both of them, both King Herod and the wise men, they both say that they want to worship Jesus. So if you look at the second reading in line 2, the Magi say it there. They say, we saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him. If you look at verse 8, Herod says it there. He says, as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. They both say that they want to worship Jesus. But as the story continues, we're told actually Herod wanted Jesus dead. He saw Jesus as a threat. Herod wanted to keep the crown on his own head. He wanted to be in charge of his own life. But look at verse 11. Look at the wise men. Verse 11 says there, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They actually worshipped Jesus. They were willing to take the crowns off their own heads, as it were, and put the crown on King Jesus. They were willing to let Jesus have his rightful place in charge of their lives. And that is the choice for each one of us here today, this Christmas. Are we with King Herod? Perhaps seemingly very, very charming on the outside. Perhaps happy to sing a few carols. But if we're honest, actually we'll pack Jesus away with the tinsel come the new year. We don't want him in charge of our lives. Are we with King Herod or are we with the wise men? Will we come to Jesus and truly worship him as our ruler, as our reconciler, as our rescuer? Perhaps you're realizing you need a bit of time just to invest in, like the wise men did, to invest in time to investigate Jesus, to find out whether he really is worth worshiping. If that is you, can I say, would you think about coming along on our 7-session lunchtime course, Christianity Explored, in the new year? You see, anyone can come to Jesus. And everyone needs to come to Jesus. Let's pray.
Almighty God, we've heard again the Christmas story of the birth in the stable, the songs of the angels, the journey of the Magi, and their worship of Jesus. And now we ask that you will help each one of us here to come to Jesus and truly worship him, our ruler, our reconciler, our rescuer. And so may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And we pray that the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us all this Christmas tide and forevermore. Amen.